Welcome, I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. Well, it is cold out there, and it's the holiday season, so what better time to curl up with a great book or head out to your local bookstore to get a nice gift for your mom or your nephew or a dear friend. We are here to help you with that today. It's our annual end-of-the-year book show. We'll be compiling a list of literary recommendations that we're going to post at the end of the show on yourcallradio.org. You can get started right now and post your recommendations there. Tell us, what books have you loved this year? What are you reading right now? What are you recommending to friends and family? Are there classics from past years that you still think about or reread? And how are you getting your reading material these days? Call or email us with your favorites. The number is 866-798-8255. I'll give out that number again in just a minute. Or you can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. And we have some book professionals here to help us with our list. Kevin Hunsinger is co-owner of Green Apple Books and Music, and he's been a part of the Bay Area literary scene for more than 20 years. He's a member of LitQuake's advisory board, and he was on the 2013 selection committee for the San Francisco Public Library's One City, One Book program. Hello.
Hi, Holly.
Good to see you.
Nice to be here.
Sharon Levin is founder and caretaker of the Free Bay Area Children's Literature List, which keeps over 1,300 people in the greater Bay Area in the loop on children's literature events and news. She's also a blogger at lifeliteraturelaughter.com. We'll have a link to that at yourcallradio.org. And she's children's book specialist at Books Inc. in Palo Alto. Hi.
Hi, Holly. Great to be here.
And so why don't you each tell us what you're reading personally, what's on your bookshelf, what's in your book bag these days. Go ahead and start, Sharon.
I actually just put a book on hold last night that I want to read. It's called Mary Poppins, She Wrote, and that's because I saw Saving Mr. Banks, the new movie, and it was lovely and wonderful, and I don't know how much of it is true. So I want, and that's the book the movie
Mary
was based on.
Mary Poppins,
She Wrote.
Okay. How about you, Kevin?
Well, speaking of not knowing how much of what is true, I'm reading a fascinating history right now called Going Clear. It's on Scientology, Hollywood, and the Prison of Belief by Lawrence Wright, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. So I'm sure that most of this is true, or all that he had control of. Pretty fascinating story. L. Ron Hubbard was a really interesting guy. The thoughts aside about Scientology or how you feel about it, it's a fascinating biography, and I'm really enjoying it.
Going Clear, and I heard Lawrence Wright talk about writing that book and mm-hmm. how difficult it is to access Scientology and how they go after you with lawsuits, etc.
Yes.
So, I mean, not an easy thing to do.
Right, not without its obstacles, for sure.
All right, so I know this is a hard question, but what would you consider the best book you read this year? Or a best book you read this year, so that you don't have to choose just one?
That's horrible. Okay, best written book I read this year was Two Boys Kissing by David Levithan, and it is stunning. I read a lot like Kevin does, so we really can't slow down or reread because there are too many books. This book I had to slow down to read.
Two Boys Kissing.
And it's what it is there were two boys who tried to break the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest kiss, which sounds lovely until you realize that 32 hours of standing, no bathroom breaks, your lips have to touch at all times, so you have to fit food and drink around the other person's
ick.
It's not romantic. So David Levithan wrote a fictionalized account of two boys doing that, trying to raise awareness. But what makes it gorgeous is there's a Greek chorus of every gay man who's gone before them talking to them about, you don't understand how lucky you are. And here's this, and here are the paths we have blazed. And it's one of the most beautifully written books I've ever read.
Two Boys Kissing. All right. So, Kevin, you go next. One of the best books you've read this year.
No doubt.
Something that stands out.
No doubt in my mind.
Oh,
this is a lead pipe cinch. Donna Tartt's The Goldfinch.
The Goldfinch.
I was blown away. It's a Dickensian tale via Roberto Bolaño, I say. A young boy is with his mother in a museum when a bombing occurs. She's killed. He's wounded. He's in a room with another person who's gravely injured. And while this man's dying, he passes on a ring to the boy. And then the work of art, the goldfinch, he says, you must take this and you must protect this, you know. So the boy's delusional. He leaves the museum without being seen with this priceless work of art and this ring. And that begins one of the most just enjoyable and evocative novels I've ever read. No doubt, best book of the year for me. And it's got to be be a shoo-in for the National Book Award next year.
The Goldfinch. What about some classics that you return to again and again? Is there anything this year that either of you wants to share?
It's not classic because it's not that old, but I went back to Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society.
Oh, interesting.
I wanted to be with those people again.
And it's hard, you know, like Sharon's saying, they were just deluged. The releases and the quality of books that are coming out all over the place are so high, it's really hard to revisit. So I'm trying to think, but I honestly don't think I've revisited something this year.
Well, that's encouraging. Yeah. You say that one of the trends is that the quality of books coming out right now is really high. Why do you think that is? What's going on? Talk to us about some of these trends.
Go ahead.
Sure. Oh, okay. Well,
don't be polite.
I'm thinking, you know, the quality of literature. You start with like the Booker Prize this year. I mean, the youngest winner ever, Eleanor Catton. She's 28 years old, and it goes to the largest book ever to be awarded the Pulitzer Prize. You know, in Luminaries, or not the Pulitzer, but the Booker. So, I mean, very young person with very extraordinary talent. The talent is so high. And then real trends. I think not necessarily huge talent, but animal blog things are all over the place. Books with animals, you know, Grumpy Cat, and what's the cat poetry book? I could pee on this.
Yeah. I could chew on this as
the
dogs.
Dog
the dogs
one.
Are not as talented as the cats. I was disappointed.
But they are an underwater dog photography
it's
book.
Not
if
a
you
big surprise.
Yeah,
underwater dogs, and they have a kids version of that.
Yeah, and now there's Shake, which is stop action photography of dogs shaking. So they just get the most distorted looking surreal faces. That's a big trend in publishing these days.
What else is going on? How about with children's lit? What kind of trends are we looking at here, Sharon?
I'm trying to think if I'm seeing trends. I brought such a wide variety of books that aren't really fitting any. I mean, there's a lot of funny graphic novels, and comic books are getting a little bit more clout than they used to. Mm-hmm. I'm getting fewer parents in the bookstore wrinkling their noses and saying, I want a real book, which is good because I growl when they say that. But I'm not sure if I'm seeing any trends. I think we have a lot of good books because so many people are writing, and there's a lot of competition to get your book out there.
Right. And so what's happening with the publishing industry itself? I mean, we had sort of heard for the last couple of years that it was becoming more difficult to get a book published through the industry itself. Mm-hmm. What's happening now? Is that reversing itself?
No, I think it's still hard to do it, but there's such a great I tend to have a bias against self-published books because I think editors serve a purpose, and I want somebody to read that book and reread that book and tell people what changes need to be made. But there's still about 5,000 children's books a year coming out, so there's a lot of really good books coming through traditional publishers.
And a couple of the better novels that I've read over this year were published as e-books originally. A book that's coming out in hardcover next year by Crown Publisher, so a major release, is called The Martian. And it's been a huge success as an ebook only, and it's going to be next year will be coming out. It'll be a huge movie. You'll hear all about it. Fans of Gravity, take note. It's about a man who is left behind on Mars by his crew and has to survive for a couple of years until they can come back and get him. It's just great. It's riveting. It's very scientifically accurate. And there you go. So it was an ebook for the longest time, and now it's coming out and will be a bestseller, I'm sure. So I think there are wonderful opportunities for young authors now to be able to sell directly. And go right to your readers.
All right, so some optimism here. You're listening to Your Call. I'm Holly Kernan, and I'm joined by Kevin Huntsanger, who's co-owner of Green Apple Books and Music in San Francisco. Sharon Levin is founder and caretaker of the Free Bay Area Children's Literature List and children's book specialist at Books, Inc. in Palo Alto. And we're compiling our annual holiday book list here at Your Call. We'll put all of the recommendations that you hear at Your Call radio.org, and we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 866-798-TALK. It's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. What books have you loved this year? Did you find any obscure discoveries to share with the rest of us? What are you reading right now? What children's lit or teen lit do you have to recommend? And are there books that you're giving as gifts, or are you looking for specific recommendations to give to people in your life? Or are there classics that you really recommend that we all reread? Give us a call at 866-798-TALK. It's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. You can also email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. And as I say, we're going to put the whole list at yourcallradio.org, and you can continue to add recommendations to that list. Also, give a shout out to your favorite local bookstore or library and let us know where you're getting your reading material these days. Okay, so speaking of local bookstores, tell us how Green Apple Books is doing and give us a sense of the literary independent book scene.
It's exciting. Yeah,
yeah?
We love it. We've really ratcheted up our event schedule this year, so it seems like we have multiple events weekly. The store is very vibrant, lively. It's definitely a holiday season, and everyone's just really excited. I've got a great staff, great customers. It's I've been there for, this will be my 23rd holiday season at Green Apple, and so far it's smooth sailing. It's wonderful.
Oh, that's really so happy. Good to hear, because really that is not what we had been hearing for the, I mean, last year you were very optimistic, mm-hmm. but for, you know, the last decade has been rough on independent booksellers.
We face challenges for sure, but it's as I said, there's optimism in the air. I was hoping to be joined today by the owners of Marcus's Books.
Yeah, which now it looks like they're going to stay.
Very exciting. You know, I feel very optimistic about the independent bookselling scene, especially in the Bay Area. I hope it's trending nationally, but feeling pretty good about here.
I will say people come into Books, Inc., and it's a deliberate decision. They come in and they say, we want to support you. We want you to still be here. So people do vote with their pocketbooks, which I appreciate.
And they're feeling like, we want this kind of community institution to be here. And so we're going to support it with our dollars. Let's go to Jeff in San Francisco. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to your call. You there? Do we have Jeff, guys? Hi, Jeff.
Me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Sorry about that.
Awesome. Yeah. yes. So I'm from Adobe Books and Arts Cooperative.
Uh-huh.
And so I recommend our bookstore.
What a surprise.
A year, we were on 16th Street, and then we got evicted. And then a group of us came together, including the old, the past owner, Andrew, and we all formed a worker-owned cooperative. And now we're on 24th Street, and things are going pretty well.
Where on 24th are you, Jeff?
3130 24th Street, right at 24th and Folsom.
And how has it changed for you to be a collective?
It's more people working together. We have different committees. We have events committees, buying committees, public relations committees. So we're all kind of working together and doing a lot of volunteer work. And just, you know, the responsibilities spread out, and it makes it easier.
And Jeff,
survive.
So at your new location, are you finding, with Sharon and Kevin just talked about, you know, kind of this local support, people coming in specifically because they want to make sure that there is a local bookstore in the Mission?
Well, last night is an example of that. Yes, I agree. Rebecca Solnit read last night. It was a great crowd, great group of people. She gave a shout out on supporting local bookstores and independent publishers, and it was just a really good vibe, really good energy, and we are getting that support. We could get a little bit more, but yeah, we're hopeful.
Well,
very hopeful.
Good to hear from you, Jeff. How about if you give us one book recommendation for our list before we let you go?
Well, it's kind of funny. I am reading Anna Karenina Tolstoy's. I have a Kobo reader from Green Apple, but I also have the physical book as well, so I'll switch back and forth.
And is that how you do it? You just switch back and forth from print to electronic? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Kobos are kind of neat.
So, huh?
I say Kobos are kind of neat. I'm having fun with mine. I've used it
this year
for the first time.
Yeah, they're kind of neat. We haven't adopted that in at Adobe Books, but I think it's great. And I would also recommend Rebecca Solnit's new book, and I also recommend Going Clear. I just read that, and it was fantastic.
Yes.
And that Kevin had also recommended that. Thanks so much, Jeff, and good luck to you. I've got a bunch of email recommendations to read, but first, why don't we eat? Sharon and Kevin both have stacks of books, so why don't we start going through some of these recommendations, and then we'll go back to the phones. The number to call is 866-798-TALK, 866-798-8255, or you can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.com. yourcallradio.org, or just post a recommendation directly to our website, which is yourcallradio.org. Go ahead, Sharon. What do you got for us?
Oh, my favorite giggle book of the year is Battle Bunny by local Mac Barnett, John Sheska, who we know is totally warped too. And it's about a book.
So for what age is this book for?
Oh, God, 5 to 85.
5 to 85, okay.
You have to have a sense of humor, and you have to be a little warped. Warped in my house is a compliment. And this is a treacly, sweet, icky, cliched book given to Alexander by his Graham. And so Alexander gets this sweet book called Birthday Bunny with everything in the book. In fact, Mac and John sat in John's backyard and wrote each line. They gave each other 30 seconds to write the worst line they could write, wrote this horrible book, and then took on the persona of a 10-year-old boy and improved it. So instead of Birthday Bunny, he's Battle Bunny. And instead of hopping through the trees, he's chopping through the trees. And Alex, of course, has written himself into the book as the hero who defeats Battle Bunny. It's hilarious.
And that's by Mac Barnett, who is a local. And he's actually been on your call on another literary show that we've done before. So delightful. All right. One from Kevin, and then we'll go to the phones.
Sure. What's fun about Battle Bunny, I'm looking at it here to the side, is that just how physically, like when she said that they write this book, they alter this book, that the book is entirely altered. It's been drawn all over. It's been scribbled in. Every word has been changed to create an entirely different story from what it was originally. A lot like the book I'm going to talk about now. J.J. Abrams and Doug Dorst collaborated on a novel called S, and this is a book within a book. There's a hardcover book that has the actual look and feel of an ex-library copy.
Uh-huh, yeah,
with stamps and pockets and everything. It's on one level, it's a novel about a ship's voyage, and while that story develops through all of the margins in this book, there's a continuing relationship developing between two readers that check the book out, leave notes in the margins, and then return the book, and it keeps coming and going. So over three or four different reads by each of these authors and the notes in the marginalia, another story develops, another relationship develops. And in this book, there are postcards, there are original photographs, there are writings on napkins, there are telegraphs
in
foreign languages. This is a book that you just can't do on Kindle. This is something that you have to have a book for, you know? The library system is kind of a little bit irked with this exact book right now.
Why?
Because, well, there are close to 24 little scraps of paper and photos and postcards and things stuffed within the pages. So these will actually all just fall out if you open the book.
Yeah.
One just did.
Case in point, they just
so
fell
you have
onto
to
the
be
ground.
Careful. And they're very important, you know? Sharon asked at the beginning, like, well, do these pieces have to be in the same place of the same, you know, page? And what happens if they, you know? Well, I don't know, you know?
Multiple
readings.
What age group do you recommend for this?
This is a pretty complex. Yeah, I would say this is definitely for the big reader on your list. Someone who's read, like, the House of Leaves, the Daniel Olszewski book, which is very complex, very avant-garde. J.J. Abrams was the creator of Lost series, so I think it would appeal to that kind of a person who's really into the esoteric and can really put yourself into a book.
So is this something, though, that I could recommend for my 14-year-old nephew?
Probably. I mean, I don't think
he's pretty sophisticated.
Yeah,
guy.
It's sophisticated, and it is fairly complex. So, yeah, I would say at that point up.
All right, let me get some of these emails, and then we'll go to Bob. So hold on the line there, Bob. So let's see. Maria writes, I always enjoy your book shows. Here are three nonfiction books, eminently readable stories, all containing interesting moral dilemmas. Let's see if either of you know of these. We Were Completely Beside Ourselves by Karen Joy Fowler. Yeah. Follows a particular girl and her family's dilemma relating to an unusual family history, roughly through the 1960s to about 2000. The Light Between Oceans by M.L. Stedman. Is that something? Mm-hmm. Takes place in Western Australia in the late 1920s, is about a young couple's life choices and their consequences. We'll put all of this on our book list. And The Dinner by Herman Koch. Mm-hmm. And that is a whole disturbing incident that's brought to light during the conversation at a restaurant dinner between two brothers and their wives. She also says two beautiful lyrical books, Mink River by Brian Doyle and A Tale for the Time Being by Ruth Ozeki. I think I have that. That's on my list right here. Thank you for that, Maria. We'll put all of this at yourcallradio.org. Let's go to Bob in Watsonville. Hi, Bob. Welcome to Your Call.
Thank you so much. How about a book for thoughtful and serious readers?
You're looking, you're going to recommend one, or you want a recommendation?
I will recommend one. It's Al Gore's book called The Future. It's a very brilliant and careful analysis of the financial, communication, environmental factors that are shaping us now and in the future. It's his thoughtfulness and thoroughness makes it a very difficult and unfortunately a lengthy read, not necessarily a happy read, but I find his insight and clarity and candidness is very refreshing.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that recommendation, Bob. We'll put that on our book list, and you can add your recommendations to our holiday book list by going to giving us a call at 866-798-TALK or going to yourcallradio.org. Again, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. Bruce emailed us and has six titles: Eating on the Wild Side by Joe Robinson, Yellow Birds by Kevin Powers, You Know When the Men Are Gone by Siobhan Fallon, The Sun by Philip Meyer, Going Clear by Lawrence Wright, that is the third vote for Going Clear so far, and Orphan Master's Son by Adam Johnson. And then Mary writes in and says, I wonder which children's classics you can recommend for kids who love the Harry Potter series, The Hunger Games, and other action-focused books. Okay, that one's to you, Sharon.
That's me. Those are very different, too, because Harry Potter, kids start reading probably younger than they should. Hunger Games is being handed to 8 and 9 year olds, and I can tell you, no.
Really? I remember my 9 year old just ate up the Hunger Games.
Oh, so. They do, but because of the plot of the Hunger Games, what's happening is you've got kids coming out of this book going, this is so cool, and I want to learn archery. It's like, yeah, that's not the point of the Hunger Games. The Hunger Games is bloody and violent and vicious, and it's incredibly well written and really, really good. And it came out when my girls were 11 and 14. I handed the 14-year-old and told the 11-year-old who was still reading Disney Fairies, you're going to wait. But
so what do you recommend then? So you're saying don't give it to your 9, 10-year-old, but so give us something to
give. Well, if you're going to read, if they are old enough, in my opinion, for reading Hunger Games, give them The Knife of Nedivere Letting Go by Patrick Ness. It's called the Chaos Walking series. It's outstanding, and I'm going to commit blasphemy, but it's better written than Hunger Games.
The Knife of Never Letting Go.
That's the first one in the series.
Yeah. And then there's also for the readers who read the Harry Potter and Hunger Games at a younger age and now are a little bit older and want that same sort of vibe, The Magician. Was that Grossman? Lev Grossman?
Oh, no. God, no.
The Magician. We'll look it up. Don't worry.
You.
The Magician.
So
there
that's part
go.
Of a trilogy. The first two are out. The third will be coming out next year.
And
so.
The Rick Riordan, of course.
Very exciting. Oh, yes, of course.
And then Tolkien, somebody saying, is that, would you recommend The Hobbit? And,
absolutely.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, now's a great time for that.
All right, let's attempt before we go to a break to get to Amanda in San Francisco. Welcome to your call.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for the show. It's absolutely wonderful. I love these year-end recommendations. And I would like to recommend a classic, which is also extremely timely. It's Cry the Beloved Country by Alan Paton. And because of Nelson Mandela's death, it's also just perfect for this time of year and this time of giving. And I also think it's especially relevant for people in the Bay Area because in the history of this book, it was brought to completion by a couple that lived in Fairfax, California. And without their assistance, the book never would have been published.
So a little local angle. I didn't know that. Thank you so much for that. We'll put it on our book list. We're about to go to a break, but maybe we can talk a little bit about biographies or anything South Africa or Mandela related after we do go to a break. You can join our conversation. We're compiling our Your Call holiday book list. Give us a call at 866-798-TALK. It's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. You can also just post your recommendations at yourcallradio.org. After this show, we'll put the entire list there. We're speaking with Sharon Levin, who's founder of the Free Bay Area Children's Literature List and a children's book specialist at Books, Inc., and Kevin Hensanger, who's co-owner of Green Apple Books. I'm Holly Kern, and you're listening to Your Call. We'll be right back after this short break.
This is Your Call on KALW. If you have a suggestion for a book that you've not yet heard on today's discussion or a question you feel needs to be answered, please join us by calling 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK. You can also email your question or comment or suggestion to feedback@yourcallradio.org. Coming up following your call at 11 o'clock from the BBC, it's World Have Your Say. And then at noon today, Ira Glass and This American Life.
For those of you joining us now, I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. Tomorrow, what do California's changing demographics and resources tell us about the future of the state? We'll have a conversation with the authors of The Atlas of California, Mapping the Challenges of a New Era. From public health and education to the water crisis, California often leads the nation on policies, for better or for worse. So as environmental, economic, and societal realities shift, what kind of future do we hope for in California? That's tomorrow. Friday is our weekly media roundtable. We'll speak with journalists about coverage of the week's news. Today, we are compiling our annual book list. What books have you loved this year? You can call and email us with your favorites, including classics. You can tell us what you're reading right now, or you can give a recommendation for friends and family. Give us a call at 866-798-8255. And if you have a favorite local bookstore or library you want to highlight, let us know. 866-798-8255 is the toll-free number. And you can post a comment at yourcallradio.org, which is where we're going to have our entire book list posted. We're speaking with Kevin Hunsanger, who's co-owner of Green Apple Books and Music. And he was also on the selection committee for the San Francisco Public Library's One City, One Book program in 2013. That was this year. We're also speaking with Sharon Levin, who is founder and caretaker of the Free Bay Area Children's Literature List, and she is a children's book specialist at Books, Inc. in Palo Alto. So right before the break, we had a recommendation, Cry the Beloved Country, and I said I was going to ask you guys about good biographies that you might recommend.
This is kind of a mix, and it's not children's. I got The Most of Nora Ephron, which is a collection of her blogs and her columns. It's a huge book, so when you're reading her factual stuff about Carl Bernstein's affair with Lady J while Nora Ephron was married to him, she also has whoever put this together has the entire text of Heartburn in the book as well.
Inside of it's called The Most of Nora Ephron.
Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
Okay, what else, Kevin?
Well, I'm just trying to think of how I can get from Nelson Mandela to Marc Maron, but here we go. Marc Maron's book, Attempting Normal, it's not a biography, it's his autobiography. He's a stand-up comic who has an extraordinarily successful and wonderful podcast, WTF. This book, Attempting Normal, and if anyone has listened to the podcast, you may know just how neurotic he is. Well, this just gives you a little bit more of that. It is the most unabashedly personal and confessional book I've ever read, with the exception of Beth Lissick's book, The Yokohama Three-Way and Other Small Shames. This is really fun. Beth was a Bay Area writer. She now lives in the East Coast in New York. But these are poems and short essays on the moments in her life that brought her the most shame.
Nice.
Cringeworthy moments.
Yes,
and if I can
yes.
indulge for a moment, I'm going to read a short poem called Baby from Yokohama Three-Way. Baby, safely on the bed, on his back like they teach us. Monitor crackles. Wine with my mother. What a nap he is having. Never naps for this long. Sprint to the bedroom. My God, where is he? A cry muffled by carpet. Never on my knees faster. Up with the flowered bedskirt. How long was he here? How long has it been?
Cringe
bad mom. Yeah.
Nice. So tales of shame, poems of shame there.
But Beth Lissick, yeah. So not Mandela-esque, but there you go.
But nice segue indeed. Rob writes, I always love the book shows. I'm a big fan of Thidwick Books on Clement Street, just east of Park Presidio. I like Borderlands Books for sci-fi. I also really like Green Apple Books. I wish there was a bookstore with a good selection of technical math and engineering books in San Francisco, like Stacy's used to have, or Borders Books. So yeah. What about, are there local libraries to go for technical and engineering books?
Or how about a school bookstore, like Stanford, which is not the city, has a great bookstore if you want technical stuff.
Mechanics Institute
in Stanford. So there you go, Rob. Let's go to Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy. Welcome to your call.
Oh, thank you. Well, I work at the Visitation Valley Library. So, of course, that's the library I'd like to send people to.
Wonderful.
Because it's an absolutely beautiful new building. It's a cathedral, like a cathedral of books. And as far as my list, I made a little list of three books, and I noticed that they're all French. So I don't know what that means, but
it's
I'm in French
mode. It's a theme.
And so the one I'm reading right now is one that one of our patrons donated to the library, and our librarian added it to the collection. It's fantastic. It's like a little anthology of Albert Camus. Mm-hmm. It has The Plague, The Fall, some short stories called Exile and the Kingdom, and it has The Myth of Sisyphus and some other essays. So I'm in the thick of that and loving it. when my City College course is over, I plan to make the big commitment of reading Les Miserables.
That's handy.
And that's a new translation by, I think, Julie Rose. Maybe the people there can correct me. And when we're speaking of new translations of French classics, I also plan to reread Madame Bovary by Flaubert in the new translation. The recent translation.
All right, so we've got the French theme going on there at the Visitation Valley Library. Judy, anything that you want to tell us about kind of trends in your local public library? Anything that you're seeing or noticing that might be a little different than usual?
Well, the Hunger Games and the next one after that, I forget the name of it.
Catching Fire.
Yeah, right, Catching Fire. Those are really big. At the library, you know, we have a lot of stuff besides just book reading. We have the Boys and Girls Club coming in and doing their projects in there. We have a lot of really great programs for kids and teens. We also have CDs, so a lot of holiday CDs are going out right now. And we also have DVDs. We have a big Chinese-Korean movie collection, which is really popular. So that's what's going on at our branch.
Great to know about it. Thank you so much for calling.
Please come to the Viz Valley Library.
Viz Valley Library, mm-hmm. And go visit your local libraries. It's just such a wonderful thing to do, such an mm-hmm. act of discovery.
Oh,
so tell us about any literary events that are going on, either at local libraries, local bookstores, anything that we might want to know about coming up during this holiday season. Sharon?
Mrs. Dalloway's has a great one. On Saturday, they are doing Wear a Skirt for Sasha. And Sasha was the teen who had, the pronoun we're supposed to use is
They.
I'm getting confused. I know we need another one where I don't feel like I'm not getting my verb subject agreement, where they were set on fire by, you know,
going home.
Breaks your
from
heart.
School, yeah.
So Mrs. Dalloway's is having a fundraiser that's wear a skirt for Sasha, and everybody's wearing a skirt that day. And 10% goes to the Pacific Center, which is the oldest LGBTQ center in the Bay Area.
Nice. Good to know about. Anything else that we should know about, Kevin?
Well, this last year, I started a series of events. I call it Cocktails and Conversations at the Lodge. And,
nice.
I've got approval to do quarterly events next year. These take place at the Elks Lodge downtown on Union Square, which is a beautiful building.
I love that building.
Oh, great. Well, I'll have to invite you to the next
and
one.
And I
we
love
do.
Cocktails.
Yeah,
so.
Same as. So it's a really wonderful series. David Talbot, Rebecca Solnit, and Barry Gifford this year. So looking forward to continuing that next year. New Year's Day, Green Apple is open, and we'll have free coffee as always. But there's a little bottle under the counter for those who are over 21 if you need a little help. So we've got that to look forward to, too.
And David Talbot's Season of the Witch is a book that I really recommend. It's all about San Francisco history, mm-hmm. and apparently he's writing another book now about the Dulles brothers.
Oh, ooh. Wonderful. Now, I happen to see, Holly, if I can put you on the offensive here, you've got a stack that you're hiding off the monitor there. What are some of these books you
these
brought in to share?
These are books that Sharon gave me to give to my teenagers.
Oh,
so, yes,
right.
She asked me what kind of books they like. I gave her the recommendations, and so.
Oh, cool.
So speaking of which, before I get to, we have so many callers that I want to get to, but Sharon, give us one more recommendation here.
Okay, well, I feel bad because I got on my soapbox and didn't talk about other recommendations for Harry Potter kids. I have the book The Runaway King, which came out this year, but the one that came out last year was The False Prince. It's outstanding. If you like Harry Potter, and one of the reasons we like that is the humor and some of the snarkiness, The False Prince follows this one kind of snarky boy who just doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut, and he's an orphan, and an evil guy comes along, and he's recruiting kids. He's recruiting a boy. He wants him to take the place of the prince so he can be the puppet master. And it's hilarious, beautifully written, great twists. Don't want to give it away, but False Prince and Runaway King are great for people who like Harry Potter.
Great. Well, thank you for that. And if you are looking for specific recommendations, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK. It's a toll-free number. You're listening to Your Call. I'm Holly Kernan, and I'm joined by Elaine in Oakland. Hi, Elaine. Welcome to Your Call.
Hi, Holly. I'd like to recommend a bookstore in Oakland in the East Bay called Sagrada, S-A-G-R-A-D-A. Which is a fantastic little bookstore that has not only books and articles from all the spiritual traditions around the world, pretty much anything you could think of, but it's just such a warm, welcoming oasis. The owners, Mary and Carlo, are extremely helpful, as is their staff. They have books, everything from the Dalai Lama to poems by Mary Oliver and other less well-known poets, just a really wide range. And they have gifts like earrings, scarves, candles, cards, CDs, calendars, just really, really beautiful. At Christmas time, they have a tree in the middle, a huge tree in the middle of the store, decorated with ornaments from all over the world. And I highly recommend it. It's been there for years, and it's like a gem.
Well, wonderful.
Not enough people know about.
Thank you for sharing with that. That's Sagrada in Oakland. Thank you, Elaine. Molly and Carmel couldn't stay on the line, but she said that there's a group called Every Library California that's trying to increase funding for libraries. So she just wanted people to know about that. We'll try and find a link and put that at yourcallradio.org. And, you know, we were talking right before the show about the fact that your library card can get you into museums, et cetera. Can you guys talk just a little bit about that? Or if we have a librarian that can give us a call at 866-798-8255. It was an Oakland librarian that told me that your library card is good for all kinds of things beyond just checking out books.
Exactly. I'm in Redwood City, so we're in the Peninsula Library Program. And if you go on the website for the city, for the library, it will tell you where you can go. You do need to get those tickets in advance, so you can't just show up and flash your card. So that's good to know. I did also want to put a plug in that if you think, if your library doesn't have what you want, in most systems, you can put them on hold at other libraries within your system. You can also, if your library has bought into the Link Plus program, can access libraries all over the state and into Nevada. And
that's,
it's wonderful. And
great
free.
To know. That's the Link Plus. And if you do want to give a shout out to your local library, or if you're a local librarian that wants to tell us what's happening at your branch, the number to call is 866-798-TALK. It's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. I'm going to go to more callers in just a second. Cornelius writes, I recommend Martin's Dream by historian Claiborne Carson, who is down at Stanford. It's a memoir by the director of the Martin Luther King Jr. Research and Education Institute at Stanford, and he's the editor of Dr. King's papers. Touches on the civil rights movement, the importance of responsible preservation of King's legacy. It's called Martin's Dream by Claiborne Carson. Yeah, Sharon.
That just reminded me, there is a stunning graphic novel called March, and it's by Congressman John Lewis
His
aide, Andrew Iden. And it's part one of three. And one of the reasons Congressman Lewis is doing his autobiography in a graphic novel format is it was a comic book about Dr. King that inspired him.
That inspired him to join the movement and to, go on to do. Yeah, I heard that whole story when he was at Comic-Con, and it was amazing. So that's March by John Lewis. Cornelius also recommends Eslanda, the Unconventional Life of Mrs. Paul Robeson by historian Barbara Ransby. Eslanda Good Robeson was a leading activist and scholar in her own right, particularly with regards to Africa. So thank you for all of that, Cornelius. Let's go to Ricky in San Francisco. Hi, Ricky. Welcome to your call.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to recommend a couple of things. First of all, Folio Books is a 5-week-old bookstore that's now the only general bookstore in Noe Valley.
In Noe Valley, Folio Books, okay.
It's at 3957 24th Street. So,
and you're saying it's new?
Well, yeah, 5 weeks. It used to be Phoenix Bookstore, and that got sold, and it was bought by a couple, and there's just a really enthusiastic group of people working there. And when I've been there, it's really cool having people come in. They just keep doing what you're saying, I'm so glad you're a bookstore. I'm so glad you guys are here. And the energy of just, I like hanging out there because it just feels so nice to be around books and all these people who love them. And I also, they have a homeless prenatal gift project right now that if you come in and buy books for kids, they have a Christmas tree with names, or actually ages of kids to buy books for, and they will deliver them to the Homeless Prenatal Project.
Oh, what a wonderful idea. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you for that, Ricky. That's Folio.
There also, there's a couple of, I don't know if anybody mentioned The Book Thief, which is a wonderful, I realized I had a couple of teen books, but and also Why We Broke Up by Daniel Handler.
Yeah. I love Daniel Handler. Yeah. Lemony Snicket, also local.
And my last idea was, there's a We Are Animals by Justin Torres, who's a local writer, who is not a brand new book, but it's a beautiful, intense, wonderful book.
We Are Animals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Heavy book? Yep.
Heavy book. Beautiful book.
Well, thank
heavy
you book. For that, Ricky. We will add that to our book list. All of it is at yourcallradio.org, and you can post other recommendations there. Nancy writes, I belong to Books and Booze Book Club. Apparently, there's a trend here, which meets in the Mission. We finished reading The Impossible Lives of Greta Wells by Andrew Sean Greer, who's a local writer, written by San Francisco writer, a lovely and strange tale of time travel, the AIDS era in the 80s. And Familial Love. So that is The Impossible Lives of Greta Wells. And Nancy says, I read a lot. There are so many books, and I have too many books, so I go to the main library at Civic Center, which, in spite of its Dickensian edge, has an amazing array of titles, friendly service, and interesting programs. Thank you for that, Nancy. Go ahead, Kevin.
And if someone could send me the link, or anyone at Green Apple Books or the Books and Booze Book Club, I'm sure there are a lot of us there that would be interested in
great.
Helping.
So, Nancy,
in any
if you're listening, send us the link to the Books and Booze Book Club. Send it to feedback@yourcallradio.org. We'll make sure it gets to Kevin gets onto our book list. Let's go to Andy in San Francisco. Hi, Andy. Welcome to Your Call.
Hi there. I want to make a plug for a bookstore where I work part-time, the Green Arcade.
Oh, good one.
Which is, I think, one of the best little secrets in San Francisco. Hopefully it's not too much of a secret anymore. We just have a really great selection of books on environmental themes, progressive politics and economics, really great sections on San Francisco and California, poetry, kids' books. We have authors' readings. It's on Market near Valencia, kind of diagonally opposite Flax.
Great, and that's Green Arcade Bookstore. Andy, do you have a book that you want to put on our list?
Well, you know something. I'm actually reading a book that was put out a few decades ago. It's Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States.
I think that qualifies as a classic.
Indeed.
Yeah. Also, Gary Kamiya's Cool Gray City. Let's see. That's a great book on San Francisco.
Yeah, another 49. Local, fantastic book. I'm also really enjoying his series in the Chronicle.
Yeah, and we also have some noir, detective adventure books by local author Jim Nisbet. Snitch World is one that kind of involves the tech world. Mm-hmm. One of my coworkers, Monica Nolan, puts out some what I would call luscious lesbian pulp fiction.
Luscious lesbian pulp fiction. Yep. Gotta love that. Well, thank you so much for that, Andy. And it looks like both Sharon and Kevin have something to say. Yeah.
Well, I want to say Gary Kamiya's wife is Kate Moses, and she's an award-winning author. And her autobiography, Cakewalk, just didn't get the publicity it should. I thought it was wonderful.
Good to know. Cakewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And Mary in San Francisco couldn't stay on the line, but she recommends God's Hotel by Victoria Sweet. It's about the Laguna Honda Hospital. Have either of you read that one?
Nope, I've heard about that.
I have not, but one of my partners at the bookstore loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I've heard just fabulous things about it. So many local authors that we have
We're
here and
lucky.
Local history. Let's go to Susan from Stanford. Hi, Susan. Welcome to your call.
Hi.
Hi.
Two books to be paired. The first one, a classic by Dalton Trumbull, Johnny Got His Gun. And the imperative for that is to not read the introductions, to just read it cold turkey and then read the introductions afterward. It is a powerful, powerful book. It was written in 1939. And then the second book is John Boyne's, B-O-Y-N-E, the absolutist. I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
No, this is wonderful. Thank you, Susan. We will add that to the list. And boy, we're going to have a lot to read over the holiday. Let's get something from each of Kevin and Sharon before we go to more callers. Go ahead, Kevin. This may be your last opportunity.
Oh, okay. Then I'm going to jump to the big guns because, Mom, if you're listening, I certainly would mind
that is
under
a big...
the tree. Yeah. You know, vinyl has made such a resurgence lately, and that's probably been the strongest growth area at Green Apple over the year. Now we're, we've expanded vinyl, used records.
Yeah.
We're carrying turntables
now.
No
longer called Green Apple Books, but Green Apple Books and Music.
Always was.
Oh, was it?
Always was. But I'm
going to
say we're putting the music back into Green Apple Books and Music this year. It's exciting. And we sell turntables and all kinds of stuff. So nothing beats listening to an old jazz record on vinyl. And Verve.
And what a great way to read, actually.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's great. True. It keeps me just buried in my living room on my couch with the records playing. It really has, boosted my reading for the year. So Verve is the sound of America, a great coffee table book on the history of Verve Records, which were some of the earliest producers of jazz, Billie Holiday and Louis Armstrong, all up to very, very, very recent. So this is a photo history, beautiful shot of Jerry Mulligan right now in front of me, Jimmy Guthrie, Herbie Hancock with an afro like you couldn't believe in this picture. It's great. It really is fun. So it's very informative and just beautiful to look at.
Wonderful. Jack Kay writes in, Half Broke Horses, written by the granddaughter of Lily, who was born in 1902 in the frontier of Texas, Oklahoma. Wonderful read from family stories at the core of American resilience. Thank you. Kate writes in and she says, I'm not sure if anybody has mentioned The Interestings by Meg Wolitzer, but I would definitely recommend it. Also, A Guide for the Perplexed by Dara Horn. Never heard of that one. Anonymous says there's a new book out called The People's Advocate by Daniel Sheehan that spells out what really happened, but Anonymous doesn't tell us what this is about. Is that a book that The People's Advocate? Let's go to Ed in Hayward. Hi, Ed. Welcome to your call.
Hi. How are you today?
Yeah, good.
Okay. I'm going to recommend Alexander McCall Smith's. It's a series, and they call it the 44 Scotland Street series.
Yeah.
And I guess there have been 7 so far, and I just find them incredible. I like the characters, and the humor is amazing, and it's just, they're all fun reads.
Wonderful, Ed. Thank you for adding that to our list. I'm going to go as quickly as I can through as many callers as I can. Let's go to Angie in Berkeley. Welcome to your call, Angie. What's your recommendation?
My recommendation is Green Branch Library. It is a small local nonprofit organization, and they have pop-up library locations at the Berkeley Farmers Market. And they're actually doing a fundraiser for a bookmobile, and the books that they cater to are for small children in all topics of social justice and helping teachers and parents teach children about environmentalism and racism and things like that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for that, Angie. Let's go to Christine in Santa Cruz. Hi, Christine. You're going to probably be our last caller, so go ahead.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to recognize Bookshop Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. It has been in the area for years, and it's important because they are so adept at researching and finding unique and unusual titles, ordering them, calling you personally to let you know they're in, and then following up with you to see if you like the book. And I just want to acknowledge the woman who is the advisor in the children's section, has worked there over 30 years. I remember getting advice from her when I was in college, and I recently went to get advice for my grandchildren. So she is pretty amazing, and you give her an age group or an interest area, and she can narrow it down to the most perfect selections for children. And the last comment is, since the holidays often bring grief of various kinds, there's a book by Byron Katie called Loving What Is, 4 questions that can change your life. Thank you so much.
Loving
Happy
What
Holidays.
Is. Thank you. Happy holidays, Christine. All right, let's go. Sharon, she talked about, great books for children. What else do you have on your list for us
here? I have so many. Do I have to just do one, or should I talk quickly?
You can do one for now.
Okay. Want me to go younger or older?
How about anything you like?
Okay. Freak Boy. Freak Boy by Kristen Clark. And it is a book in verse, which I love because I find with a lot of my reluctant readers, they see a thick book and they're afraid of it. And then you show them that there's not a lot of text, but how very little text can be really powerful.
Freak Boy.
This is a teenage boy who likes girls. He would also like to be a girl. And it gets into gender fluidity. And it's beautifully done, very respectful, not preachy, and absolutely fascinating.
Oh, great. Freak Boy. Heather writes in and says, regarding where to find technical books, both Berkeley Public and San Francisco Public Libraries offer free online access to Safari Tech Books online. Thank you for that, Heather. Go ahead, Kevin. You got another recommendation?
Oh, okay. World Film Locations is a series of books, and this is film locations exclusively in San Francisco. So vignettes of every movie that's been filmed in San Francisco, and then scene captures of the scenes maybe you're not necessarily expecting. Like, I'm open the page to Bullet, and instead of the car chase, it's the scene inside San Francisco General Hospital. Vertigo, the scene is actually inside of Ernie's Steakhouse. That's a beautiful scene.
Where's Ernie's Steakhouse?
I don't think it's there anymore. It was up on Montgomery Street. Yeah, so, yeah.
And one more recommendation before we go. You got, yeah.
Okay. Gosh. How could I not?
Oh, yes. We've got to do this one with the sad teddy bear on the front cover.
The most impossible book to do on radio, but this is called Much Loved, and this is a collection of photographs of teddy bears from around the world that have been much loved. So they're just very, 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 beautiful, crisp, clear things of these just all fallen and apart and tatters. And
they're real.
Much Loved. What age group is this for?
Oh, this is for everybody. Everybody who's ever cuddled a teddy bear.
You guys say that about every book.
No, but it's so cute. I mean, who doesn't love pictures of, like, it's adorable. Oh.
That is lovely. Well, listen, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us. And I want to thank everybody who called and emailed us. We're going to put everything at yourcallradio.org. Sharon Levin is founder of the Bay Area Children's Literature List, and she's at Books, Inc. in Palo Alto. Kevin Hunsinger is co-owner of Green Apple Books and Music in San Francisco and a member of the Litquake Advisory Board. Again, we're going to put a link to the book list at yourcallradio.org. You can continue to add books there. I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. What do California's changing demographics and resources tell us about the future of the state? On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation with the authors of The Atlas of California, mapping the challenges of a new era. From public health and education to water and the foreclosure crisis, California often leads the nation in policies. So as environmental, economic, and societal realities shift, what kind of future do we hope for in California? Join the conversation on the next Your Call with Rose Aguilar and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco, with special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz.